It's a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
We have not one, but two guests this week.
We do.
We're coming back from the All-Star break and just raring and ready to go.
We're like, you know what? We're going to double down on the info and guests.
So we're going to be joined by Brett Hedekin, who we've spoken to many times in the past, one of our favorites, Stanley Cup champion, two-time Olympian, and hockey analyst on KFOX and NBC Sportsnet. And then we're also going to be joined by our friend, Corey Long, a Lightning reporter for NHL.com, because he told us after the All-Star break he thought it was going to start picking up, but it kind of started earlier than that.
It did.
We're going to bring it up to him.
Yeah.
Because we like rubbing it in his face. No, I'm kidding. So we're going to do that. But first, let's go down. Weren't any games to talk about for us.
Right.
So we're going to talk about, first of all, before we get into all of that, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention and talk about the huge gaping hole that is left in the sports world this week.
Yeah.
The untimely death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and the seven other passengers on the helicopter.
That's crazy.
Kobe Bryant was famous for traveling by helicopter. He'd fly in for the Laker games. Mm-hmm. So it was a somewhat normal thing for him to fly in a helicopter.
You know, the thing about the Kobe Bryant passing that I know, I'm an NBA fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. I'm a huge NBA fan.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people aren't, especially in this era. It seems like if you don't have a market, have a team in your market, then you're not as big of a fan. But I grew up with basketball, so I love the NBA. But it was the people who aren't NBA fans who said, I'm not an NBA fan, I'm not a basketball fan, but they felt like they experienced it as well in a shock and a sadness and a, you know, borderline devastation. So it wasn't just Laker fans, basketball fans, Kobe Bryant fans. It was felt throughout, you know, the world, throughout America, throughout pop culture. He was a pop culture icon.
Yes.
So, I mean, I was in shock for probably 25 to 30 minutes.
Well, and you and I have been in this business for a long time. And when we see something come across anywhere that somebody has died, we have to go, hold up. Is this a hoax? Is the reporting correct? We dig into it a little bit, and at first I was like, oh, this is a horrible joke.
Yeah.
Mistake.
It's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. And then, you know, it comes out, more confirmations come out. So, yeah, I'm not a huge basketball fan. I'll watch, like, the final game of the finals. So I'm not a huge basketball fan, but everybody knew Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Whether, like you said, whether you're a basketball fan or not.
Yeah.
He was a sports icon. You know, just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he was just starting his second life, mm-hmm. I guess, in quotes, after basketball. And, you know, seeing him and his daughter, they were like a meme 2 weeks ago or something, mm-hmm. you know, when they were sitting on courtside and he was getting back into it. And he said he had like completely stopped watching the game,
mm-hmm.
until his daughter kind of brought him back in. And so, you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody involved.
Yeah.
It was tough. And then to see like teams playing that night, it must have been so difficult. Like I went back to my high school for an event a couple weeks ago, and it was for a varsity basketball game. Hmm. And probably four of the kids on either team probably had the name Kobe. I mean, people are naming their kids after this sports icon.
Yeah. I mean, he entered the league at 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we grew, like a lot of us.
Yeah.
A lot of us in our, you know, you and I generate, we grew up with Kobe.
Right.
He was in our eight.
He was a generational player.
Yeah.
So, we just, you know, we know he's not a hockey player. But in the sports world and in pop culture, we just felt like it would be not great of us if we didn't mention it. And gosh, just so sad. So anyway, how do you move on from that? Oh, we talk about the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So two of our Lightning players, Victor Hedman, Andre Vasilevsky, representing in St. Louis. And it was weird Friday and Saturday having the events.
Mm-hmm.
Skills was on Friday. I enjoyed the Shooting Stars competition the Gatorade thing where they were on the platform in the stands and they had to shoot kind of like a Top Golf type competition. I enjoyed that. I thought that was really cool because when they do the like the obstacle course on the ice, like I'm like after like two or three skaters, I'm like, okay, I'm over it.
Yeah.
But this was really kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players enjoyed it too. They looked like they enjoyed it. And then Andre Vasilevsky, he was holding the record for the goaltender competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jordan Binnington takes it. But here's the thing. Vassy stopped nine in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Binnington, he can let one by him, but then have 10 in a row and be okay.
I know.
I don't know. We might have to look at that one again.
Yeah. It's just fun for everyone.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, even the game itself. I mean, it's just for fun. It's for fun. I don't know. I don't put too much stock in that because so many people like were texting me like I was personally responsible for only Vasilevsky and Hedman being in there. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I was like, it's just a popularity contest. Everybody calm down.
And Vassy wouldn't have been in if the goaltender from, was it Nashville?
Yeah.
Who decided he didn't want to attend?
I thought was it was Nashville? Tuukka Rask or something.
Oh, was I don't one know. Of the goaltenders
one of the
decided
goaltenders.
Not to attend.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the skills competition.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about the game now. Because I actually enjoyed the game. And you know what? I didn't like that the skills were Friday, but I liked that the game was Saturday night.
Yeah.
Here's
what I'll say about the game this year.
Yes.
It wasn't one of those crazy wackadoodle 30-29. I like that.
Oh, yeah, no.
I like that it was a little... I felt like it was a little more competitive.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't ever think that the All-Star game is competitive.
Yeah, I mean, you don't expect anybody to get, like, checked into the boards.
No, I think somebody did have one hit, though. I think somebody recorded a hit. But, you know, the Atlantic, they never get past that first game against the Metro.
Yeah.
And it's been, like, 3 or 4 years. This year, I was like, yes! They got through Vassy and Nett doing
Hedman,
good. Hedman with a couple points.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, this is good. I like it.
Yeah.
Not so good at the final game.
But it was, I liked that it was close.
Yeah, no, there was a level of compete.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think is hard to do.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't feel like it's not hard to do when Wayne Gretzky is on a bench.
Right.
Like every player wants to play for Wayne.
Yeah.
Show him what he can do.
I just felt like it just seemed like a little more competitive than usual. Maybe because there were a lot of younger guys.
Yeah. And you know what I liked? There were a lot of new guys.
Yeah.
Like Tomas Hertl.
Yes.
You know.
We're going to talk about him with our guest.
Yes. Brett Hedekin.
I'm sorry, but his little Justin Bieber maneuver was hilarious.
Was awesome.
It was so funny. If people don't realize, what was it, the goalie?
Jordan Binnington,
okay,
a couple weeks ago, put out a challenge to Justin Bieber about, like, I bet he can't score 10 shots on his something.
Yeah.
There was some kind of bet. And so as Tomas Hertl was going to, for the goal save competition, he was trying to score on Jordan Binnington. And before he took the shot, he stopped, he put on a cardboard mask of Justin
That's
Bieber
so
and
funny
skated
to me.
In. So I like that there were a lot of guys that we have not seen before, like that we got to know.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like there was the PK Subbans and the guys that we know. It was the new kids, the young kids.
Yeah. A new speed skating champion.
Yes, Barzal.
Took down Connor McDavid.
Yeah, which I think was a shock.
I think so. Boy, he was flying around that rink, though. Holy cannoli.
So I like that we got to see some new faces.
Yeah.
And they weren't afraid to show their personality.
Yep.
I am a huge Ryan O'Reilly fan, by the way.
Are you really?
I am in love with some Ryan O'Reilly.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I like seeing the personalities.
Yeah.
And... you know, I enjoyed seeing Victor Hedman and Andre Vasilevsky. I thought they represented the organization super well.
Of course.
Class acts.
Of course.
But yeah, it was nice to see some new faces.
It was.
Like, when the All-Star game was here, it was really cool that, like, Patrick Kane and Alexander Ovechkin and all these, like, super superstars were there. But I feel like they see them all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the goaltender was for Pittsburgh, but that was kind of cool to see not Murray there. I love seeing Chris Letang, though, every chance I get.
What do you think about I know we have to, you know, move on with life because real hockey's out there.
Right.
Not that it's not real hockey, but I'm really starting to, and I don't like myself for it.
Oh.
I'm starting to kind of like Pasternak.
It's hard not to. The guy has so much skill.
And he doesn't seem like unlikable.
No, he's not Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I can't stand it. It's driving me crazy.
Well, you can't stand it because he doesn't play for the Lightning.
Well, and he plays for, you know, them.
Them. But no, Pasternak, he's got a really great sense of humor, it seems.
Yeah.
He's so skilled.
Goodness.
And he just seems like he's having a good time out there, which is really, it's fun to watch when somebody else is having a good time.
Yep.
So
him and Bergeron, man, I'm really.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, I was hearing some of the talking heads talk about, you know, it would really be great if this actually meant something. You know, it just wasn't $1 million prize. Like, I'm curious how they split that up.
What do you want?
Well, like, you know, the All-Star game for baseball.
Oh, no, that's a horrible idea.
No, I know. And they would probably have to go back to 5-on-5.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
That's terrible.
But,
I don't like that
at all.
And
then I'm like, you know, oh, it's nice that these couple of guys are invited to play,
yeah,
but I'd also not like any of them to be hurt.
Yes. I don't like that at all.
Can we play this game maybe at the beginning of the season before the season starts, or maybe like after the awards? Like,
nah.
But then that shortens their summers.
Yeah. You want to do something like the NFL does where you do it like
at the end of the season.
I think it gives them a break.
But then it's like, well, when after the season? Because the season can go forever.
Right.
And then, like, they have to come back. And
we have international players. They want
to go to Europe and go
to
Sweden and see their family, whatever.
I don't mind that. I mean, the NBA does it. You know, obviously the baseball thing that happens in the, you know, midway point. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I think it's fun. I like getting their personalities, and it's a popularity contest. That's really all it is. I don't think we should place any more on it.
It's an exhibition.
It's an exhibition popularity contest. And I don't want people getting voted in just because people like them or they live in a big city in a huge market. I don't want the fate of the Tampa Bay Lightning put in the hands of a popularity contest.
So, like, making it worth something.
Yeah,
okay.
Like baseball.
By the way, that Honda CR-V hybrid looked pretty nice, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Oh my gosh, there was a funny moment. I'm going to digress for a second.
Okay.
So I was watching NBC Sports right before the skills competition started, and Patrick Sharp is one of the commentators now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was like, oh yeah, he was reminiscing about his All-Star appearance, and I think it was the only one he had, and he actually won the MVP award. And so somebody asked him, well, what did you do with the car? he's like, well, I gave it to my brother, who gave it to his wife. But now they're divorced, so I really don't know where the car is. And I think it was Catherine Tappan. Please, you know, hopefully I'm doing this right. But she's like, great job. Great question. Not way to make it uncomfortable kind of thing, you know. But I thought it was really funny. And it's just, I feel like it's a way for the NHL to kind of let their hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
Show the personalities.
Yeah.
You're not have to be so serious. Yes, they're competitors, but they're there to have a good time. And the way they incorporated the female players this year.
Yeah, I love it.
That was fun.
That was a fun game.
And I think one of the first times they ever had a female representative, was it the Tampa All-Star game or was it the one before? I feel like I know that they were part of it because
right.
they were training over in Wesley Chapel. But I'm really liking seeing the females out there showing their stuff, sometimes showing up the boys a little bit. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
So I really kind of like what they're doing. But I just wish it was a different time so nobody would get hurt.
Well,
because I feel like I hold my breath through the skills competition and the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, please, no.
Yeah, but also, I mean, it's, you know, you're talking to one or two players.
True.
You're not talking about, you know, I mean.
I know,
listen,
but they're very important players.
Well, we could always make the argument, maybe not for our guys, but just, you know, in hypothetically speaking, that because they have the time off and they don't have to go.
I know, then
they can do something stupid, like trip over their dog's leash and break their ankle.
Or go to Gasparilla and
do
something dumb.
Right, right. So,
yeah, I know. But still, it gives us something to talk about.
It does.
So St. Louis, thanks for the hospitality. We weren't there, but it looked like it was super fun. And then Green Day performing. You know what? That was the other thing. I was like, that was really cool that Green Day, they were just standing on the ice. Remember when Kid Rock was here and he was on a stage in the end zone?
Yeah.
I was like, that was rock star, them just standing on the ice.
Yeah.
And then he tried to get closer, Billy Joe, tried to get closer, and he was like tiptoeing on the ice because he was like, oh gosh, if I eat it, it's going to be all over the internet.
I don't want to digress, but I just wonder how they pick these. Band.
Well, the Green Day, their new song is part of the NBC commercials for the NHL.
Fallout Boy had.
Right. Saw it in the arena or when a nationally televised game was on, but they have a song with the NHL. Okay. So I have a feeling that's how that was chosen. But
probably.
Yeah. So it was fun. Now let's get back to hockey. Now it's when it really matters.
Now it's go time.
It is go time. Not that points in the beginning of the season in October don't matter, because we know they do. But now I feel like we're going to see another level. And we're going to kind of talk about that with our guest Brett Hedekin and Corey Long in this jam-packed episode of Game Misconduct. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with Brett Hedekin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hi.
And we are joined by our guest. We're so happy to have him back. Brett Hedekin, Stanley Cup champion, two-time Olympian, and hockey analyst on KFOX and NBC Sportsnet. Thank you so much for joining us again this season.
Thank you, CT. Thank you, Dory. Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you guys again.
Well, we love having you on. You're one of our favorite guests. You're so insightful. You always point out things that we don't realize, and you know a whole lot about hockey. So it's really good to have you on and share your insight on the Western Conference teams, especially the Sharks, because we don't see you guys that often.
Well, it's been one of those seasons that I think the Sharks would like to start over.
Yeah. You know,
It's been a tough year. Obviously, they're out of the playoff picture right now, and their captain Logan Couture goes down a couple weeks ago with an ankle fracture. So that's been something that's been really setting the team back on the road. They kind of got a little bit of this last homestand that they just prior to this three-game road trip that they went on. They kind of built a little momentum even with Logan out, but then they hit the road and they lost all three of their games before the All-Star break and really set them back. But all in all, there's some young players that are trying to step up for the Sharks now are going to get definitely an opportunity to play. And we're going to have to see if they can put on a strong push here towards the end of the season.
Okay, so let's kind of talk about that. On paper, on the ice, this is one of the most talented teams in the league. CT and I have talked about pretty much every time we have you on how much we really enjoy just about every player on the roster. We enjoy watching them play. But 50-ish, or so games in, they're not where anybody thought. This is a team that went to the, Western Conference Finals last year. What do you attribute the first half play to? Is it just the Couture injury, or is there something bigger at play?
Yeah, it's a lot in play. I think when you look last year, you had Joe Pavelski, the captain, a real stable influence in the locker room. He obviously signs in Dallas. Logan Couture now became the new captain of the, San Jose Sharks. You've got this new kind of regime, if you will, trying to find their footings and trying to take over the leadership of this hockey team. And when you realize, the guys like the Joe Pavelski that left to go to Dallas, and you get a guy like Joe Thornton, who's a little bit older now, not as an effective player as he used to be when he was younger, and coming off those back-to-back years where he had, ACL reconstruction surgery. And last year really tried to get his footing, and it just hasn't been an effective player. And I think as a player, as a former player, when you're not as effective on the ice, it's harder to be as effective in the locker room. And although he's got all that experience and is going to continue to, mentor some of the young guys on this team, it's those younger guys that now have to take the reins. Obviously, Tomas Hertl, Evander Kane, they signed Erik Karlsson this summer, which I thought was really a surprise because you know, I think a lot of teams in the league, obviously Tampa was a team that was talked about as going after Erik Karlsson as well. But when you break it down, these younger guys have yet to really take over the nightly when things go tough, when things go south in a game, who are going to be the young guys that can step up to kind of get it back on the rails. And I think through that, the goaltending has let them down early in the season, and now here they are, like you said, way out of the playoffs with a talented roster that haven't been able to find not only the leadership, not only the save, but also just that consistent play that you need night in and night out in the NHL.
So you talked about the leadership losing Pavelski. I want to talk about Patrick Marleau for a second, if you can indulge me. I'm sure you probably talked about Patrick Marleau until, you know, you couldn't talk anymore already. But, you know, he's one of those players that, you know, you think of the Sharks. That's it. When he was in Toronto for a couple seasons, I thought he was weird. We saw him a lot more, and I was like, I don't know. I still think it's weird. Now he's back. What kind of impact has he had on this team since re-signing, what, in October?
Yeah, I thanks for bringing up Patrick Marleau. I didn't even mention him when I talked about the leadership, but I will say this. You know, watching him before he went to Toronto, you're right, he's Mr. Shark. He holds pretty much, him and Joel Thornton will hold all the records here probably forever within this organization. I mean, over 1,700 games.
It's
think
amazing.
About that. It's phenomenal what Patrick Marleau has done in his career. If the lockouts wouldn't have happened in the NHL, he would have bypassed Gordie Howe on the all-time list. And
oh
he
God.
Still has the potential if he comes back next year and plays a full season. I mean, he could definitely be the all-time leader in games played in the NHL, which is phenomenal. But that being said, I think when you look at what he did when he went to Toronto, I think he became a better pro. Now, I know that seems weird, but as a former player that's been traded, when you get traded to a new organization, and I asked this question to Patty Marleau when when I was in Toronto after he had been traded up there or signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs, I said, you know, Patty, are you a different pro today than you were before you left San Jose simply because you're walking into a new environment and having to kind of earn your stripes all over again and kind of know what it feels like to be the new guy in the locker room? And he kind of looked at me kind of stunned, as in, man, I can't believe you asked that question. But he was more about, it was kind of weird. He's like, man, that's interesting. But he goes, you're right. I finally have realized what it feels like to be a new guy in the locker room. And I think when you look at guys like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and how they really were drawn to Patrick Marleau, I think he was probably as drawn to them as they were to him because he was finally being that guy that knows that what it feels like to be the young guy or to be the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's a better pro today than he was before he left when I watch him play simply, doing the little things along the wall, you know, playing consistent every night. I mean, for what he is at 40 years old, I mean, this guy has been a phenomenal player, but I think he's even as good now as he's been, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Wow. Do you think this is his last year? I really hope it's not. I hope he, like, plays forever. I really do. Yeah, I love Marleau.
Man, I wish I could have played forever.
Yeah.
We all want to keep playing. I mean, it's you know, nobody wants to retire. But I think, you know, with Patrick Marleau, I mean, he's not as an effective offensive player as he used to be. Let me clarify that when I say he was as good as he used to be. I mean, he's got 8 goals on the season and 17 points. But all that being said, I'd love to see him play. I think he can still skate. Could he be a third and fourth line guy on a heck of a hockey team? 100%. He can be an impact player. And like I said, he's going to be an impact player in the locker room even more today than he's ever been.
We are talking with Brett Head again, to Stanley Cup champion, 2-time Olympian, and hockey analyst for NBC Sportsnet. Now, you brought up Hurdle earlier. Tomáš Hertl, we would be remiss if we did not talk about this kid's performance at the All-Star game. I mean, he had 4 goals, and I don't think he's somebody that Lightning fans and maybe a lot of Eastern Conference fans really know a lot about, but my goodness, he was spectacular.
I think, you know, with Couture going down, I think, you know, he's going to be a guy, you know, that they gave him the opportunity to go. So I'm wondering, my one question I want to ask him is he going to share some of the $1 million that those guys make together with Logan, right?
I mean,
you got to think about that. But what I love about this opportunity for Tomas Hertl getting the chance as when Logan went down to represent the Sharks at the All-Star game, I think he's finally hopefully realizing that he can be an elite player in the National Hockey League and on a nightly basis. I really, truly believe him rubbing elbows with the other All-Stars, being around that environment, seeing what other guys look like to be the elite players in the league, I think is only going to benefit him long-term. I think I'm really excited to see what he comes back with the confidence that maybe he can garner moving forward from this moment of his career. But you're right. I think they were talking, even Eddie Olchuk during the game, saying, you know, hey, Tomas Hertl could be in this conversation for the MVP. That says one heck of a lot when you look at him and the season he's had and the tough breaks he had early in his career. And now, you know, his legs are back, his knee surgeries that he had are fully recovered, and he's, you know, a dominant player in the National Hockey League and can be even more dominant, I believe.
All right, so the Lightning are going to be playing all these guys coming up here for the second time this season. I try and be a little gentle about this. Do you think we're going to see a different Sharks team than we saw in December?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I know Bob Bugner, you know, took over the coaching job for Pete DeBoer. And we haven't really seen a huge change. I know he's tried to make some adjustments with some of the schemes, if you will, and the defensive zone structure and even some of the things that they're doing in the offensive zone. But, you know, overall, you know, some of these things that have plagued the Sharks, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a guy like Erik Karlsson needs to be their best player. I mean, he's everybody talks about the last decade and some of the best players of the decade. He's in the conversation. Like, he's still a young guy, young enough to really dominate the game. And, you know, I think I've seen him dominate a couple of games this year, but other than that, it's been, for me, a little bit of a disappointment for Erik Karlsson. I just expect more from him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe that's just me looking at a guy when you watch him play the nights that he brings it, you go, man, you just don't see anybody do the things that he does on the ice. That's how good he is. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I want to see this last, you know, 32 games, if you will, of the season, I want to see him dominate on, you know, most of those nights. I want to see him be a guy that leads by example. And if you can bring, you know, the one of the richest guys in the National Hockey League, let's call it what it is. They signed him to a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has to live up to it. He has to be able to take more pride in the way he performs on a nightly basis, because the Sharks aren't going to go anywhere for the next, you know, 10 years without Erik Karlsson, you know, pulling up his socks and being a dominant player.
So let me ask you, since you brought up Karlsson, you know, this is a position and you know very well about. How is Brent Byrne? I feel like we haven't heard much about Burns this season.
Yeah, it's been, I'll tell you, it's been a little bit of a struggle. You know, both those guys are still, you know, have plenty of points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as of last game, I think Karlsson had 35 going into the Vancouver game and Burnsy with 32. But I think when it comes to Burns, I mean, I think they're all trying to find their balance back there. When you sign Erik Karlsson, now you've got two alpha males that are both want to be on the power play for the full 2 minutes. So, you know, I think when you look at any successful team, I don't care if you're talking business or you're talking a hockey team or football team, you know, you've got to look at the we and not the me a lot of times.
Mm.
Not a lot of times, every time. I mean, if you want to have a successful group, you've got to be able to take less of yourself and give more to the team. And I think they're both trying to find that balance of, you know, who's going to get the power play time? Who's going to get more ice time? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And ultimately, at the end of the day, are those things important or winning a Stanley Cup? And for me, that's ultimately what both those guys have to recognize and realize, is that this is about winning championships. You know, it's not about all the points that you get every night. It's more about the aggregation of coming together as a group and then obviously winning a cup. And I think when you talk Brent Burns, you talk Erik Karlsson, you talk Mark Edward Vlasic, you know, three incredible defensemen in this league, You need all three of those guys to win championships, but you need all three of them to work together to pull that rope together, and hopefully they can do that these last 32 games.
All right, so before we let you go, we just really quick want to get your final thought on the league overall. Is there anything that's kind of surprising to you, besides maybe where the Sharks are in the standings?
I'm excited about the skill level of our game. I mean, that's one thing that I'm really excited about. I mean, Miro Heiskanen, the defenseman from Dallas, I saw him play the other night. I was blown away at this young defenseman. You got Makar from Colorado. You got Hughes up in Vancouver that we just saw. These young defensemen, I just absolutely love where our game is going. That being said, surprises. Vancouver, I think, is a little bit of a surprise this year for me from the West. So I think that's the one thing out of what I'm looking at right now. But ultimately, anything can happen in the Pacific Division. Everybody's so close. It's going to come down to the wire. So that's kind of what I'm seeing from the Western Conference.
And it makes it just that much more exciting. We love having you on. I know I'm not a parent, but I know you're not supposed to pick your favorites. Don't tell anybody, but you're like one of my favorites ever to have on this show.
Thanks, you guys.
I can hear you talk about the Sharks and the Western Conference and hockey in general for hours. We really appreciate you carving out some time for us. Can you remind everybody where they can maybe find you on social media if they can't see you on TV because they're over here in Florida?
Yeah, just Brett, B-R-E-T, Hedekin, 1-T, obviously, at Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. All three of those, just my full name, and that's where you can find me.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys having me on. I love talking to you as well, and anytime.
Love having Brett Hedekin on. I always look forward to when we're playing the Sharks, and I'm like, we got to get Brett on!
I know. And you know, I really love, and I hope everybody goes back and listens again to what he said about Patrick Marleau.
Yes, you.
I really just think that's just such a wonderful, fascinating, insightful question to ask him.
Yes.
Future Hall of Famer, man.
Yes.
It should be.
So thank you, Brett, for joining us. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our jam-packed show with Corey Long from NHL.com when we get back. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And don't forget, you can follow us on social at Game Miz with a Z Conduct on Twitter and Facebook. We are joined by our second guest of the show. We are jam-packed today. We have Corey Long, Lightning writer for NHL.com. Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
Doing well, ladies. How are you doing?
We're doing well. So we wanted to kind of catch back up with you. We already had you on earlier this season when the Lightning were in a bit of a slump. And you didn't think they'd start to turn things around until about the All-Star break. However, they may have gotten it together a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah.
What do you think the catalyst was for that turnaround?
It's hard to pinpoint one thing in particular. A lot of things started happening better. For one thing, they just stopped giving up so many shots. The shot volumes that they were allowing just went down considerably. It seemed like, and this is what they've been trying to do all season, and it just seemed like in a couple of games it all came together. It just all came together. They figured out, okay, this is what we have to do. This is why we have to do it. This is why we're going to win. And it's ironic because before they started the win streak, they were playing well in some games and they weren't getting results. They were playing well. They played a couple of good games, just like the Capitals. And, Vasilevsky still wasn't really in top form. So, they were giving up maybe a few more goals than they should have. But the shot volume was going down. I could see it, it looked like, okay, well, if they can just cut out the goals and, they should be fine. And they cut out the goals and they've been fine. And it's been a lot of things. It's been one of the things that's been, Anthony Cirelli is playing at a tremendous level right now. Kilorn's been playing at a tremendous level all season, and he's continuing to play well. He's not, normally he's had a few hot starts, and he's kind of faded away, but he's been very engaged. He's staying in front of the net. he's doing a lot of the right things that they need him to do. I mean, this system is really built to exploit his talents, and it has. So, you know, those are the big things. You're looking at certain guys who are getting hot. Kucherov's had some games, you know, where he's lit hot. And overall, they've just been playing well. And, you know, they've only had maybe, I can, you know, look at their last 15 games and look and say they've only had really one bad game that I thought. And that was a game against Minnesota. And, you know, I thought, you know, they didn't play well. I thought the NBC commentators were a little ridiculous about how poorly they played. I mean, I thought it was just, you know, they had a bad game. And, you know, they didn't play in a lot of games by that point. It was like, oh, I'm like, good God, you know. So it was the 45th game of the season. It's not like it was, you know, game. It was not like it was a, you know, deciding game in the first round of the playoffs. They just, you know, they had a bad night. It happens. You know,
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
It was a bad night. And, you know, they knew they were going into a back-to-back. And, you know, what happens the next night? They put up 7 on Winnipeg. So,
well, I just don't think those commentators are used to seeing. I mean, they saw it in the first 4 games of last season's playoff run, but I just, you know, I don't think.
I mean,
the expectation
well.
Isn't
they
there.
Weren't, they weren't playing well, but you make a great point because, I mean, I'm over. We're over here cracking up at your. I mean, it's true. It was like, you know.
I'm yelling at the television. I'm like, give him a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. And the thing is, the game was what, 3-2, 4-2?
Yeah.
It was like a 6-1 loss. And look at that. You know, it was like they just had a bad night. You could tell they just didn't have their legs, and they were a little sluggish and couldn't really get on pucks. But, you know, it was like, my God, they didn't play that badly.
Oh, God. Oh, we're crying.
Okay. Wow. You're making us laugh. We needed it today.
Yeah.
So let's talk about McElhinney. He's 5-6-2. How do you think he's played so far? And, you know, as the months roll on and we get deeper and deeper into the season, do you think he'll pick up some more wins, maybe get his goals against under 3? And maybe will we see him more as we get later into the season or less?
I don't think so. I don't think he wants to have such a high work rate. I don't think he's not like a Louis in the sense that, you know, he's not trying to be a starter in the league anymore. I think he knows his role. He's had some tough draws.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
during this
streak, he's had some tough draws. He's had some, you know, some tough ends of back to back. He's had, you know, the backup goalie's gonna get a tougher game on a back to back, and you know, it doesn't always work out. I think he's been all right. You know, I thought, you know, I think some of the games he played well, he didn't get the result. I thought the Devils game, I thought he was fine in that game. You know, I thought Minnesota, he played fine. I mean, the team wasn't great around him. So, you know, I look and I say, okay, I don't think he's playing poorly. He's, you know, maybe he hasn't gotten the most luck. You know, sometimes obviously, yeah, he's giving up some goals that you'd rather see him not give up. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, his job is to go in there and provide a chance for the team to win, and more importantly, you know, don't get hurt, and provide rest for the big cat. And he's done those things for the most part. I would say, you know, he's probably, you know, 75% of the time played well enough for the team to win, and it just, you know, might not have happened.
Okay, that's fair. How much weight do you put into the goals against compared to, like, save percentage? I personally have to be like, I'm a save percentage kind of person. I care about
save percentage.
Definitely
a save percentage person.
Okay.
Definitely a save percentage person.
Yeah. Okay, so you don't put that too much stock in the goals against thing too?
No, not at all.
I love how you're just like, no. No, I don't.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
So what players on the Lightning, or I mean, if you want to talk about the whole league, then you could do that too. What Lightning players are you the most impressed by through the first half? Are there any surprises?
We talked about Killer. That's been a great story all season. He has a career high in goals. I think he was the best player on the team in the first half of the season. I think across the board, he was the best player. You know, I thought, you know, obviously Hedman was the all-star, but I thought Killorn was, from game in and game out, I thought he played the best.
That's right.
You know, Cirelli's picked it up exceptionally well. the young guys. You know, Stevens has come out there. I think he's plays hard in every game. He doesn't get a lot of minutes, but the minutes that he does get, he takes advantage of them. Verhage, I was not really impressed with him early in the season, but I think he's turned it around. He's starting to battle a little bit more. So, you know, those guys in particular are the ones that I look at and I'm really, you know, really happy with. I think, you know, the big guns are the big guns. You know, Stamkos is getting his points. Kucherov has his moments where he's going to frustrate you. Then he's going to, you know, end up something random, like he's going to have 11 points in the next four games. You know, he can just, you know, you can't stay mad at that guy because you know what he's capable of.
Right.
And you know, and Braden Point, you know, his production's a little down, but I think overall his two-way game has been very good.
Okay, so now that we're through the All-Star break, now everybody wants to talk about trade deadline. So do you expect the team to make any moves at the trade deadline? And if so, like, what missing pieces do you think they need to make a play for a playoff run, if anything?
Right-handed shot defenseman is where I think they're going to go if anywhere. And you look at who they would. I don't think anybody on the current roster is probably going to be available. But you know, if you look at who used to be on the current roster, who got sent down to Syracuse, and you think that's going to be, if they're going to make a trade, it's going to be surrounding that guy, probably surrounding, you know, number seven. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where they're going to go if they're going to do anything. It's going to be a right-handed shot defenseman. That's they're really happy with this team. The one thing I can say is that coaches are happy. The front office is happy. You know, they look at the numbers. They're not that far off from where they were last year in terms of goals, you know, the goals that they're scoring. I think they're like second in the league, win percentage. You know, they had a lot of games in hand and they won a lot of those games. They're doing the things that they need to do. The penalty kill has gotten a lot better from where it was in the first month of the season, when they were just taking way too many penalties and, you know, and not getting the luck that they were getting last year on those situations. But then they stopped taking a lot of minor penalties, which is good. You know, they're staying out of the box a little bit more. They're doing all those things. So I can see, but, you know, right-handed shot defenseman is where I see them going if they're going to go somewhere.
But you think number seven will be the bait that they dangle there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, the thing is, Corey, I remember like opening night a few seasons ago, you and I were in the press box together, and we were talking about him. And this, I think it was like his rookie year. And we were talking about like, hey, this is so exciting. We're going to, you know, see this young gun come up here. He looked so good during, you know, training camp. And I think it's just and it's not like that other kid who I refuse to name, who's no longer on this team, who had a bad attitude. I don't think he has a bad attitude at all.
I think it's just not working out.
Is that fair?
I just think he's struggling this season. He's struggling doing the things that he needs to do in order to stay on the team.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't getting after pucks. He was struggling on defense. He wasn't using his speed properly. And hopefully, you know, he's down in Syracuse. He's getting a lot more minutes. He's able to figure those things out. And, you know, if this organization is still high on him, then obviously they're not going to deal him. But I think the one thing they've got a lot of in this organization still is forwards. It's forwards that can skate, forwards that can score, forwards that can generate havoc. And if they feel like they really need something and he's the guy that, you know, that's expendable, that's where I think that's going to lead. It doesn't always work in some places.
Right, and it might actually be a better, you know, move for him, too, to flourish. You know, like you said, we have a plethora of forwards. There's no shortage of talented forwards in the farm system organization. And so, you know, maybe he'll be able to find a spot somewhere else where he can contribute and continue to grow his game.
Yeah, it didn't work for JT Miller here, and JT's having a very good season in Vancouver, and God knows before Vancouver came here, I got, you know, I was getting so much, you know, oh, it was every blankety blank's fault why JT didn't work out, and it was this person's fault. And, you know, I always said, I think JT just decided to get better.
Yeah.
You know, I think he realized that on his third team, he decided he wanted to, you know, not be part of every trade, and he wanted to focus more on his game. He didn't focus on his game here. Then, you know, Vancouver comes in, he does nothing, and I said, you know, that's exactly why they got rid of JT Miller. So, because I don't even know if he skated in that game. He was such a non-factor.
We're speaking with Corey Long, Lightning reporter for NHL.com, and we were speaking to somebody earlier in the season, and I can't think of who it was, but you know, they were talking about how they feel like the team is playing playoff hockey now instead of trying to kick it into high gear end of April if they get into the standings. They're trying to play a playoff-style hockey now. What are your thoughts on that? Because I've been really trying to pay attention to it because I couldn't really put my finger on why they were struggling earlier this season, and that seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, they're playing a style that they believe is going to make them successful in the playoffs. You limit shot opportunities. You focus on limiting the chances. There have been games that they're not giving up much of anything. They have very strong third periods now. Their third periods have been excellent as they've won across the last 15, 20 games in terms of them just not giving up really any opportunities, keeping the puck on their own end, just, you know, shutting the game down. They're so much more focused on closing the game. And the idea is that, you know, you should be able, if you have a 3-1 lead going in the third period, you should be able to win. You shouldn't have to go to overtime or a shootout. And that's kind of become their mentality now. Last year, I don't think that was their mentality. I think they figured, heck, you know, we're just going to play. We're going to go up and down. And, you know, if they score two, we'll figure out a way to get the other one and win anyway. And now they're being a little bit more conscious about that. And it's worked out. I think everything is going as the plan. I'll tell you a secret. I only told this to Erlandson, so I'm going to tell you
okay.
a secret here.
We won't tell anybody, we promise.
Okay. Number two in the division is where you really want to be during the playoffs.
Mm.
You don't want to be first. You want to be number two. And I'll tell you why. That number three team, you're very familiar with.
Mm.
You played them a lot during the season. They can't throw a whole lot of surprises at you.
Mm.
You don't know what you're getting out of that wild card spot. A, you're usually getting a team that's been playing as if their lives depended on it for the last 15 games.
Right.
They've probably made some really aggressive deals at the trade deadline, like Columbus did last year. And you probably don't have a lot of familiarity with them. So the team that you see in April, wouldn't have been a team that you played those one or two times back in December.
Hmm.
But number two in the division, that's a great spot to be in. You get home ice against a team that you played several times.
I like it. I would have never thought of that. So we won't tell anybody your secret, Corey.
Yeah, don't tell anybody that.
Corey, we're going to wrap up with you. Remind everybody where they can find you on social media and read all your great articles.
Yes. All my fine written articles are at NHL.com. And they can find me on social media. On Twitter at Corey Long, CoreyLong.
All right, Corey. Well, hopefully we will be speaking with you in April and May again. I can't even say it because I'm super superstitious. But thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to speaking to you later on in the season.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on, ladies. I appreciate it.
So that's it for our jam-packed show. Thank you to our guests, Brett Hedekin and Corey Long, for joining us. And as we look forward to the trade deadline now and the second half of the season, we'll see where this team goes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.